Well, we've been sharing some messages for a while on this theme of no evidence. And if you've been watching or you've been here live, you know, these messages have been on this theme of what evidence has been removed through the blood of Jesus, through the cross of Jesus. And that evidence has been removed. We've become new creatures in Christ, and there's no evidence of that old man that's in my spirit. Now, there may be some things we have to change in our thinking, but the evidence of my old nature in my spirit has been removed. There is no evidence of it. And we've shared a number of messages, and the last two, we shared a message on the blood of Jesus. We've shared some other messages on faith and just believing, but we've landed on these last two messages on our words. And tonight I want to just focus a little bit on boundaries and removing those boundaries, and talking a little bit about where we're connecting, I guess I could say, where we were on Sunday. And we know from the scriptures that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And 2 Corinthians 4:13 in the Passion Translation, it says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then speak in faith. So faith, our faith, really must be released in our words. Faith, as we shared in one message, faith confesses or announces the outcome before it happens. Why? Because faith, as Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. So faith announces, faith decrees the outcome, something not seen yet. And so when we look at Hebrews 11:1 in the King James, it says, now faith is the substance. That word substance means support, or it could mean confidence or assurance, but it's the ground or the support of things that we expect. So the things that I expect are resting upon the confidence of God's word, something he's promised. So this word now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I like some of the other translations, but the Passion Translation of this verse says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation. See, this is what we're talking about, the support that supports our expectations of the things we long for. It says, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we hope for. It's all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. So what do I need to prove something that I'm believing for? Faith. Faith is the evidence that I need. It's the only evidence that I need for things still unseen. You know, anytime, you know, anybody who's taken an airplane flight, or let's say you get on a ship, you go on a cruise, they want some ID. And anything else today, you go to the bank, you want to get some money out of your account, they're going to say, show me some ID. They want some proof that you are who you say you are. Same in the Amplified, it says that our faith is the title deed. So if you own something, whether it's a piece of property or a house, that our faith is the title deed, well, you have to prove or show that title deed that you own that piece of property. Well, that's what the Bible says here, that our faith is the title deed of things hoped for. It's the only evidence that I need to prove those things that I'm believing for. Now, I wanted to pick up this evening and reference a few scriptures that we did on Sunday, Proverbs 18:21, and kind of stay here a little bit. There's some good insight here. And Proverbs 4, we're going to look at. But Proverbs 18:21 in the King James, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So if you say it's going to be hard in life, it will be for you, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. "And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." That's why, you know, just out of compassion for people, when I hear people talk, we're not the word police. We don't go around telling people what they should or shouldn't say, because sometimes people aren't ready to hear what you have to say. You know, you may want to, but you need to look for the right opportunity to share something with someone, and then they'll be open to receive it. But if you say you're tired, you will be. You'll be held in bondage by your words, and your body will respond to those words. Same thing, if you don't say you have enough, you don't say you have enough money, you're going to go through life not having enough money. But our words can either be death or life. And where is it? It's in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 6:2, it says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." So your words will either work for you or against you. So faith is that spiritual substance. It's that heavenly substance that works for us. And so we're to release our words, speak those things that God has promised for us. And you can either be an overcomer or you can be defeated by your confession or your words. Something that Reinhard Bonnke shared when he was alive, and he was going through something where he was, you know, basically not, you know, viewing himself in a godly way, I guess you could say. He was kind of looking down, like, what have I got to share? He was asked to fill in for somebody and minister, and he didn't think he had much to say. And the Holy Spirit spoke up in him and said, "My words and your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth." And that was a revelation to him. And that, you know, boosted his spirit, and he just got out there and began to minister the word of God. But let's go back. I want to kind of unpack this scripture in Proverbs 18:21. And let's go back and look at this a little bit. And the King James. And I want us to just kind of go word by word here. And it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." So when we talk about our words are coming from what? They're coming from our mouth and tongue. But it says here, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." This Hebrew word, because this is in the Old Testament, this Hebrew word for power means hand. And if you look it up for yourself, it means hand, and it says in parentheses, an open hand, and it says, as opposed to a closed hand. So this equates the tongue as a hand. So what does that mean? In other words, every time I speak, my tongue is going to hand me something. It's going to hand you something. Our tongue, like a hand, has got the power to give means to, that means finances or other means, directions to us. It will affect every area of our lives. This is what this word in the Hebrew says. It says a hand, an open one, and it goes on to say indicating power, means, and direction. So this is saying that the tongue has the power, it's like a hand, that gives direction, it gives means, it gives power to our lives. So this here is saying that it begins to affect every area of our lives. And we need to be conscious while we're spending a little time here. I want to read these translations that we don't have to put up on the screen. We'll have it at another time. But this says here, the Good News Bible in Proverbs 18:21. I'm going to read this. It says, what you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. I'll read that again. What you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. The Moffat translation says, death and life are determined by the tongue. Now listen to this. This is the Knox translation, K-N-O-X. It says, of life and death, the tongue holds the keys. Now, I'll just stop here for a moment. On Sunday, we shared from the Passion Translation, Matthew 16:19. It said, I will give you the keys of King of Heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. How are we going to do that? How are you going to forbid and release? You're going to do it through the words of your mouth. So this said here in Proverbs 18:21, of life and death, the tongue holds the keys. This is what we were sharing. This word power, death and life are in the power. This word power is like a hand, an open hand. It's going to give you something when you speak. And so we need to be aware of that, conscious of that. Let's look at Matthew and the King James. Let's look at Matthew 12 and verse 37. Matthew 12 and verse 37. It says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So this is not talking about condemning us to hell. He's talking about things you can have in life, on earth, in this life. And so let's look at this in the Passion Translation. So we're talking about words. It says, your very words will be used as evidence against you, and your words will declare you either innocent or guilty. So our words are going to hand us what? Hand us the means, going to hand power, means, and also direction. So our words will either work for us or against us, and the words that we speak will be used as evidence against us. So you can't turn around and blame God for all the problems in your life. Some of those problems have been determined or have been released or created in our lives by words we've said. And didn't say all your problems, but or the boundaries you've got in your life, all of those weren't set. Some, the devil just creates problems in our life. But I would dare say that we need to go back and check up what we've been saying. Now let's look at the Proverbs 21 and verse 23. This, another good strong passage in the King James, said, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Now let's look at this in the New Living Translation. And then the Message says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. That's pretty plain. The Message translation says, watch your words and hold your tongue. You save yourself a lot of grief. That is plain, isn't it? Let's look at the New International Version. It says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. This word keepeth, when we look at the King James, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles, in the King James, this word keepeth, this Hebrew word, means to hedge about as with thorns. It means to create a boundary, a hedge. And it means also to guard, to protect, to preserve a watchman. So your words will protect you. They'll guard for you. They'll create a hedge of protection around you. So my words, my mouth and my tongue, or my words, are either going to bring blessing or troubles, or, as the other translation, calamity in my life. So if we don't keep or guard or protect our mouth and tongue, it's going to create more troubles for us in our lives. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. And this is kind of what I wanted to look at a little bit tonight. Joshua 1:8. We're familiar with the King James Version. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And the New International Version, also of this translation, of this scripture verse, it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, I want to read this from the Knox translation, and we'll have this the next time so we can put this up. But this is in Joshua 1:8. I want you to listen to this. It says, the law thou hast in writing must govern every utterance of thine. Ooh. Night and day thou must ponder over it, so as to carry out all the terms of it faithfully, so wilt thou guide thy steps truly and prosper. But I wanted to focus on this. It says, the law thou hast in writing must govern every utterance of thine. So this word govern, anybody, you know, when you govern, it means you can restrain, you can manipulate something, you can strongly influence the actions or conduct of something. You can exert a determining or guiding influence in and over something. So this means here, the Word of God is going to govern or control or restrain the things that we want to say. You know, those things that don't line up with God's word. So if you're not full of God's word, then it won't act as a governor, or it won't restrain us. When we're full of God's word, when we get ready to confess or say something, the word of God that's not in line with God's word, the word of God will spring up in us and say, don't say that. Don't release those words. You may want to, but the word of God, from this writing here and not in the Knox translation, says the writings in God's word govern every utterances of ours. So it begins to control or to restrain some of the things that we may want to say. You may want to say, I'm so weak, but the word of God will rise up and say, no, I'm strong in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You may want to say, you know, I just don't have enough. I can't do this. But the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. He supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So those things that you may want to say, you may have symptoms in your body and you may want to speak and release some words, but the word of God will restrain us and we'll begin to say, no, himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, and by his stripes we have been healed. So I'm just using some examples, but the key here is that the word of God acts as a governor. You know, anybody who, you know, I mean, I raced cars for a little bit, and I remember, you know, in some of those, in those settings, this was road racing, you know, it was open wheel, and, you know, during certain training portions of that, you know, I was up in Canada for a couple of settings to train on these cars, and they put certain things in to govern what you did, and to control or to limit, to keep cars spaced apart. So, you know, just in a car setting, and in settings, there are limiters that govern what we can do or set boundaries. So one thing, let's take another look here at Proverbs chapter 4. So again, the word of God will govern every utterance of ours. He's trying to help us. You know, he knew we couldn't live in this life, you know, this flesh, this mind, without it being renewed, without it, you know, having the power of the word of God. We're just left to our own devices, you know, the influences of this world, and the power of God's word will help us if we yield to it. But Proverbs 4 and verse 20 through 24, it says, my son, attend to my words. See, this is what this is saying. Attend to his words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Then verse 24, put away from thee what? A froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Why? Because they can create some problems and troubles in your life. But I like the New Living Translation. It says in that verse 23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. In some other translations, this is the Good News Translation. It says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And the New Century Version says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. Well, your thoughts, if you meditate on them enough and you speak them, they'll begin to determine and set boundaries in your life. This is what the word issues mean in the King James when it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This Hebrew word means an outgoing. It means a border. It means an extremity. It can mean the source of life. That means a force. That means the forces of life. What does that mean? Death and life come from the power of the tongue. So we need to be aware that we can set boundaries by our words. That's why it says, keep the heart with diligence, for out of it flow or are the issues of life or the boundaries. And so the boundaries is another thought. Boundaries do not come from the outside. Boundaries come from the inside. Now, there may be some boundaries that this natural world will try to impose upon you, but the real boundaries, if you heed those boundaries, if you buy into it and meditate on it and release it, you'll fix that boundary. But boundaries that the world tries to set can be overcome by what? Faith. That's what it says. Whosoever, 1 John 5:4, whosoever is born of God, what? Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So faith released by in our words overcomes every worldly boundary. And God, if you look here, let's look at Proverbs 12 and verse 6. Proverbs 12 and verse 6 in the King James, it says, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." This is what we just got done sharing here, that we can remove boundaries by getting the word of God inside of us, and it will govern every utterance of ours. Let's look at the New International Version, Proverbs 12, 6, in this particular translation, said, "The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them." So we can remove boundaries, those worldly boundaries that are set. You'll never get this. You're not smart enough. You don't have the right pedigree. You don't have the right culture. You don't have the right nationality. Whatever they come up with, I'm telling you, those worldly boundaries can be removed by the words that you speak, or they can be fixed if you get in agreement with them. So when the world begins to determine you can't have this, God never said that. Philippians 4 and verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So I can do all things. He never set boundaries for us. He shed his blood to do what? Remove what was in what we received, all the curses through Adam's fall. Now let's look at Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Proverbs 12 and 18, it says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is what? Health." So when the doctor says something, we're not denying the existence of disease, but we are denying the disease to continue in our body. We're forbidding it. Why? Because but through his stripes we have been healed. So if I have been healed, then I am. So I'm overcoming those obstacles, those boundaries that seem to be being imposed in my body. I'm overcoming those with what? Faith. There may be other boundaries in your life. It might be just mental. There might be something where you just say, I can't do this. I don't feel like I have the ability to do this. I don't have the wherewithal. Well, God has said, "I can do all things." In Mark 9:23, in the King James, it says, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." So God has given us his spirit to live within us. And he said that his spirit quickeneth this mortal body. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And if he dwells in me, he does what? He quickens or gives life to my mortal body. He speaks to me. He directs me. You know, I like what Mark Hankin says. You've got a genius living on the inside of you, and if you'll yield to him, he'll make you smart. And so if we just yield to the Holy Ghost who lives in us, listen to his directings, his directions, his promptings, and release words that get in line with that, then we'll overcome. We'll have all of the blessings of God afforded to us. But again, just what we said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And this word power, as we were sharing, is like an open hand that will either provide power, means and direction. And so every time you open your mouth, every time you open and release words in your tongue, your hand or the power of the tongue is handing you something. It's giving you something. It's either going to give you death or life. So again, just let's remind ourselves, get our words corrected, get them changed to get in line with God's word. Meditate on the word of God. You know, I believe it's in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So the word of God has got to be renewed. We got to get our minds renewed to the word of God, and we get it down in our hearts so that it governs what we say. It governs every utterance. So I begin to get my heart and my mouth in sync, in connection, or in agreement with God's word. And when we do, we'll walk in victory. We'll walk in the blessings of God. And so when we talk about removing boundaries or removing your boundaries, then it's the same theme of no evidence. You know, you can talk about the evidence. You can get in agreement with the evidence that is in your life, but God, through his word, has removed every trace of evidence through what? Through the cross. He nailed it to the cross as a public display permanently so that it can be seen. And so this is what the scripture says. And so we ought to just be smart enough to receive it, agree with it, and confess what the word says, not the negatives that are in our lives. We know what Mark 11:23 says, whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain or an obstacle or something confronting us, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and do what? Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This is the life that's being released in our life. So when we begin to speak the word of God and we begin to not doubt it and believe the things that we say shall come to pass, we'll have them. And what does that mean? Removing boundaries. That means no evidence of boundaries in my life. No evidence of it. Well, there may be some, but they can be removed. You know, when I think about James and it talks about the ship and the rudder, the rudder, and it talks about the rudder being a tongue in our mouth, like a rudder, that you can turn the direction of your life around by just redoing the words of your mouth and re-speaking those things. Maybe you were going in the wrong direction, but it's going to take some time to turn turn the ship around and get going in the right direction. So I would just encourage us to, in the hard places of life, speak the word of God. Keep speaking it, and it will come to pass if you what? Doubt not and believe the things that you're saying. Glory to God. So keep feeding on the word of God and let the word of God govern every utterance of your mouth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hope you got a little something out of that. And I trust that got some insight into this. Make the necessary corrections. If you're doing everything, don't be weary. You know, what does it say in Galatians chapter 6? It says, don't be weary in well-doing. And he says, but you shall what? Reap if you faint not. So, you know, for us, don't get weary in well-doing. It says, but in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So don't get weary in your well-doing. Keep feeding, keep speaking, and the word of God shall overcome. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's life and power to us. And we thank you that your word is the governor. It governs and restrains us from speaking things that would get in agreement with all of the negative things that the devil would try to stir up in our lives. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that we overcome. We thank you that our words are creative and our words overcome every obstacle that we face in life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Glory to God. You know, I heard somebody say something years ago that our words are not just for communication, but they're for creation. So our words are more for creation than communication. So our words, although we don't create worlds, but we create with our words. And it's as the scripture says, death and life is in the power or the hand of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we will create circumstances. It says, guard your heart, because out of it come the issues or the boundaries or extremities or forces of life. So we need to be conscious of that we're not just communicating, but when you believe something in your heart and you doubt not, this is Mark 11:23. When you doubt not and believe the things that you say, they'll come to pass. That to me sounds like creative. And so we need to be aware that our words are not just for communication, but for creation. Creating what? Creating those things that we can't see, those things that have been promised for us through the shed blood of Jesus. And our faith is the only evidence that needs to be seen, what? Of things not seen. So our faith-filled words will create and pull into this realm or create circumstances for us to receive the things that we're believing for. Glory to God. Well, let's, before we receive our offering, let's just extend for those who are watching, those that may not know the Lord Jesus. You know, we never complete a service without extending that to those who may be watching. And the scripture is very clear that if we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that we shall be saved. Is that we believe in our hearts and confess that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So let's say this simple prayer. If you've never done that, or you desire to do that, maybe you did, and maybe you didn't realize what you were doing. You want to reaffirm, or maybe you got away from God, maybe you did, and you just want to rededicate yourself, your life to Him. Let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe you sent Him here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And I believe He took my sin and He took it to hell, and I believe that you raised Him from the dead when sin was paid for. And I believe that I was raised also from the dead. And as the scripture says, we were raised from the dead and seated in heavenly places in Christ. So I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. I ask Him to come into my heart now. I receive Him as my Savior. I ask you to cleanse me with the blood of Jesus and make something new of me. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you said that simple prayer, just reach out to us either by email, or you can, you know, send us a note by mail, or you can call us and let us know that you've received Jesus as your Savior, and we will send you some information about who you've become in Christ.